on, Fourth and Inches Podcast listeners. You've got Dan and Stevie P. What's going on, Dan?
What's up, Steve? What's up, listeners? No Kevy tonight. Kev's got some family stuff to take care of around the holidays. Everybody's schedules gets a little bit more congested. So we'll have Kev on Wednesday's podcast with us.
Yeah, we're gonna miss him tonight, but the show must go on. So we are going to handle today's show. We're gonna go over our good and bad calls of the week, like we always do. And we are going to hit up that waiver wire. So let you guys know what guys we think you should pick up and try to help you win that championship. You know, this is probably for most leagues your second week of the playoffs. You know, this is the game that's going to propel you into your championship game. And, you know, we want to help you get there. So before we do that, we are going to do our spiel that we do all the time. Remember to go to 4thandinchesff.com. That's the number 4th, the letter NINCHESFF.com for all of our blogs, our ranks, our player profiles. We have a ridiculous amount of stuff on there. You know, if you sign up for the VIP, you get access to our DFS information. You know, we do a breakdown of players that we like and give you lineups that we actually play ourselves to win ourselves some money. So if you guys are interested in that, remember, hit up the website. It's 4thandinchesff.com, 4thandinchesff.com. All right, now let's get to the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, in news today, in the New York Giants Philadelphia Eagles game, Eagles are the home team, we have Daniel Jones, Evan Engram, Rhett Ellison, Corey Bellantyne, Wayne Gallman, Chad Slade, and Eric Smith, Dan Dugan, all out for that game for the Giants. And on the Eagles side of the ball, we have Nelson Aguilar, Jordan Howard, Sharif Miller, we have Nate Herbig, and a couple other players that you don't know inactive for that game tonight. The Seahawks running back Rashad Penny tore his ACL last night in the Rams' loss.
Is it torn?
Yeah, it's torn.
Yeah, I saw on ESPN or NFL Network that it was a major sprain. I didn't hear a tear, but okay, it's torn. So it's
out for the rest of the season. The MRI confirmed the news from the former first-round pick, who also had additional damage to his knee. He says he's out until training camp. Tough injury. Yeah, that sucks. That's last night, we'll just get into it real quick a little bit. I am in a big money league, and the guy that I was playing had Rashad Penny playing. So it was, you know, one of those things where you're like, oh, thank God he's not going to get any more points. But that's a terrible, terrible way to lose a fantasy game. So all you guys that had to experience that sucks. We understand.
Well, that double benefits you as well, though, because in our league you have Chris Carson.
Yes.
And Penny has been eating slowly into that Chris Carson workload over the last three. Penny's been absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, he really has.
The last like 3-4 weeks. So, and he's been eating into that Chris Carson workload. And, you know, you got both of them, but you can't, you know, you have to start Carson. You can't pick Penny over Carson. But now that makes your decision a lot easier.
You are not lying. Yeah, so that's a big deal. But in other news, we have a couple important developments to come out of the Ravens camp. It says light practice injuries. Lamar Jackson was limited with a quad injury, and left tackle Ronnie Stanley missed practice with a concussion. So that is definitely two major injuries for the Ravens that you are definitely going to want to, you know, check out and make sure everything is okay with that. Le'Veon Bell is pretty close to 100%, Adam Gase says. He's not contagious anymore, Gase said. So he obviously had something that was contagious. It says Bell will be lifting his teammates tonight, so he's going to play versus the Ravens. So that's, you know, it's kind of crazy because if you were relying on Le'Veon Bell this week and, you know, he got put out, you know, I know Kev was in our one league, you know, that sucks to learn, you know, a little bit before game time that he's not going to play because of a sickness. That's really sucks for your fantasy team. But, you know, he's going to be back this week. Hopefully you won that game without Lev Bell. Pete Carroll said during Monday's practice that there is no more update. No, that's Rashad Penny news. It says here. We have Frank Wright said T.Y. Hilton is still week to week. So, you know, after that loss, you know, yesterday, they're basically out of the playoffs. They can't make the playoffs. So, you know, that was a tough loss against a Tampa Bay team that, you know, really just put it on them in the second half.
Yeah, they were up by like 17 in that second half, and it looked like that they were, you know, going to try to stay toe to toe with Tennessee, make it competitive, and Jameis Winston came back.
Dude went unconscious and just started making every throw.
He got back to his interceptions, though. Yeah, he was Jameis.
Threw those interceptions.
That stat line is so Jameis Winston. 450 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That is a Jameis Winston stat line to the T.
You are not lying. This is not even a little bit of a joke. It's hilarious. All right. Bucks quarterback Jameis Winston will be able to play through a broken thumb on his throwing hand. It says, after visiting a specialist, however, the injury may limit him in practice. So, you know, Jameis Winston is definitely going to be able to go, but, you know, it is what it is. It says, we have placed Adam Vinatieri and wide receiver Paris Campbell on IR. That's news out of the Colts camp. It says, Darius Geis will be out this week. So, Darius Geis, we all saw the knee injury. You know, it doesn't sound like it's real, real serious because they're just saying he's going to be out this week. But, you know, this guy, a knee injury is starting to get a little ridiculous. You know, every time this guy plays 2 or 3 games, you know, he didn't even play 2 or 3 games. Last year he was in the preseason, got hurt. This year he played week 1, got hurt. And then he played, what, 2 or 3 games in a row and got hurt again. So,
yeah, about that.
Yeah, it's rough. If you're a Geis owner, you're probably, like, ready to pull your hair out with this guy.
It's a shame, too, because he looks good when he's in there.
Yeah, he's great.
He's a talented back.
All right, so DJ Chark will be week-to-week or day-to-day, according to the Jaguars head coach Doug Marrone, and he's in a walking boot today. So that is definitely something to keep at the top of your head, I mean, when you're looking at injuries this week. Calvin Ridley announced on Instagram that he will miss the rest of the season. So that is a big deal. If you were a Calvin Ridley owner and you needed him for the rest of the playoffs, the dude had 18 fantasy points last night yesterday before he got hurt. So, you know, he's been playing great the past, I want to say 4 weeks. So that's a blow to your fantasy team if you were relying on him. The Cowboys have released kicker Brett Maher after missing a million kicks this weekend. They signed veteran Kai Forbath. The team announces a necessary change. I mean, the dude was just missing kicks all over the place. He had to go. Reed said he expects – Andy Reid says he expects Mahomes to play on Sunday against Denver. He said, right now, I tell you most likely yes, but we'll have to see how it goes in the next couple of days. Yeah, so that's definitely news to keep in mind. Bengals wide receiver Auden Tate suffered a mild MCL sprain on Sunday in the loss to the Browns. It isn't considered serious. A sigh of relief. The knee injury suffered by Ravens tight end Mark Andrews is considered to be minor, said source. One of the Baltimore key weapons should be okay moving forward. Ian Rappaport wrote that on Twitter. Colts kicker Adam Vinatieri will undergo season-ending surgery. We just read that one. Let's see here. All right, so Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster, who has missed the past 3 games with a knee injury, is eyeing a return on Sunday night game against the Buffalo Bills, per source. I love that. This is
Buffalo got a primetime game?
Yeah, dog.
I know. I saw that yesterday. I was checking out who plays next week at primetime. I was like, ooh, Buffalo's in there.
Yeah, man, we're exciting. I'll tell you what. Josh Allen didn't have the best of games this weekend, but the guy is so damn exciting. We lost that game. I mean, it was only by a touchdown. You know, people were saying, you know, I think Vegas had us a 6-9, something like that, point underdog. But, you know, we fought tough in that game.
Eight and a half, I think, around there.
Yeah, we fought tough in that game. We looked, you know, he's got to start completing passes at the end of games. But, you know, I mean, we played them tough. I think we are well on our way to being a very good team for a long time to come. Daniel Jones. Nope, don't need to read that. Let's see here. Seahawks. Nope. That's it for the news. It looks like everything else is just, you know, N'Keal Harry has a hip and he's questionable. If you're starting N'Keal Harry, then your team is pretty terrible.
Should have had a touchdown.
He should have had a touchdown. I thought that was a touchdown all day.
Oh, it was. They replayed it. It absolutely was. The refs blew that call, and the Patriots couldn't challenge it because they were out of challenges.
Yeah, that was terrible. It definitely.
I mean, they still should have scored. They had the ball at the three. I mean, he got to like the 3 or 4, yeah. And it was first down, so they did have it in there. But, you know, that was a tie game right there. And instead, that's you know, they had to, you know, go for it on fourth down, and you know. He made it. That was a good play call to Edelman, but what's his name? Just made a really good play there. Yeah. Breland. Or something. Yeah, Breland. Yeah, he made an awesome play there on Edelman. He knew it was going to Edelman. Who else are you going to rely on? I mean, exactly. Brady throws a perfect ball to Myers, and the kid just drops it in a clutch spot. You know, I mean, you got to go to the guy that you can rely on.
You are not lying. Yeah, so that's basically news. There's not really anything else here that is pertinent to, you know, fantasy news. So, with that said, we are going to get to our good and bad calls of the week. We're actually going to read Kev's first because we still made Kev do some work. We made Kev give us his good and bad calls of the week, and then we're going to read those to let you guys know, you know, what calls Kev made good and what calls he made bad.
I know he started Tannehill in our league, so yeah,
That was a hell of a call. And I'll tell we all basically said we liked Tannehill last week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it kind of convinced him because who was his other option? I'm trying to think who was his other option.
Goff.
Oh, yeah, Goff. Yep. Yeah, I probably would have did that.
Who wasn't bad last night, but no. Tannehill lit it up.
Yeah, Tannehill went off. I'll tell you what, the threat of Derrick Henry just opens that offense up because literally they put like 8 men in the box to try to stop Henry, and he's just been tearing them apart. Teams, I think, come in the game trying to take away Henry, and he's like, no. I mean, if you're gonna give me these wide open passing lanes, I'm gonna make you pay.
And he's a top 5 back, if not maybe creeping into top 3 status right now.
He's great. He's been great. I have him in that big money league, and he's like, seriously, I've been riding him like a damn horse, boy. Like a thoroughbred.
25 carries easy every game, and he's so big he can handle it, and he don't break down.
Yep. All right, so Kev's good calls of the week. We have Ryan Tannehill. We just talked about it. Ryan Tannehill's been great. You know, since week 6, he came into the starting lineup, and he's been tearing it up, and he continued it this week. You know, we said that we liked that Raiders matchup, and he proved that, you know, that was a great matchup. Derrick Henry was his other good call. You know, I believe Kev had him. Let's see where Kev had him. I had him at 3 for the week, and I believe Kev had him at like 5 overall. But, you know, I mean, we both liked him a lot going into this week, and he had him at 2. Yeah, Kev had him at 2, so Kev really liked him. And, you know, he paid off. He looked great. Debo and Emmanuel Sanders. He said that he thought the 49ers would be able to pass against New Orleans, and he wasn't lying because they both went off.
That game was ridiculous. Like, who saw? Ridiculous. We talked about that on our last podcast or Wednesday's podcast, and you're like, man, that's probably going to be a good under to take.
Yeah, every time, for real.
I'm telling you, it's like clockwork, dude. Whenever you say, when you see these games that you think for sure are going to soar over, like let's say the Chiefs and the Rams, like that game last year, you know, when they had that shootout, you know, like then they end up playing like a 17-13 game. And when you got a game like this that you think for sure, you know, two incredible top 5 defenses that's going to stay under, and they go and score like 90 some points.
Yeah,
it's funny how that works.
Yeah, it really was crazy. It was a very interesting game. And you know what? It didn't help the 49ers that they lost. Yeah, losing Richard Sherman, that's a big deal. You lose Richard Sherman, and, you know, he's one of their best corners. That'll hurt. So, you know, that was another reason why, you know, that game went over. But, yeah, that was a crazy high-scoring game. All right, Dan, so why don't we get into your good calls of the week?
All right, let's start with something that we touched on the, you know, the Carolina Panthers last week and the fact that they fired Rivera, and I just love the spot that Atlanta was in. You know, I just, we know how bad Carolina's defense has been. You know, they started off good. They actually started off as a really good defense, and they just offensively and defensively collapsed. So I really liked Matt Ryan. I talked about him last week and how, you know, this offense is, they're not laying down. I mean, they're not a good team, but they're not laying down like some of these other teams are. They're fighting back, and they've actually, you know, since they got Matt Ryan back, they've actually been playing pretty good. And, you know, he's been fantasy relevant. You know, he had 313, two touchdowns. They ran the ball really good. We'll get into some other guys with some, you know, some of the other calls, but they ran the ball awesome. And, you know, like Steve said, really got you a touchdown in 76 yards. On the other side of the ball, man, that Kyle Allen stinks. I watched the whole like 15-minute highlight of this thing, and he stinks. He threw two interceptions. I mean, he couldn't – got sacked five times, and the only reason he had 293 yards passing was because he checked that ball down to McCaffrey constantly. I mean, if this is their guy, they're going to – I mean, they need a new coach. I don't know if Cam Newton is going to want to come back, you know, considering the trash that's been thrown, you know, his name's been thrown at since he's been hurt, because they thought this kid was coming in and going to be the savior. And, you know, the Panthers basically, you know, Cam's been horrible. He's been horrible, but you know, I mean, there's no comparison between these two. When you watch, at least Cam can, he can get out of the pocket and make stuff happen. This kid is just, he's like a deer in the headlights. He's bad. So, yep. Liked Ryan. I liked, very high on just the Rams right now. And it's not so much that they are, you know, the Rams of the old, you know, when McVay came in and started, you know, his whole regime and turned this team around like basically in a year. It's just that they've been in good spots playing bad defenses, and finally they've been taking advantage of it. And let's see what happens when you start to give Todd Gurley ball. Oh, guess what? You start to, you know, score points for the first time. I mean, they've won games. They are, you know, 7-5 or 8-5, and they have won games, but that's primarily because they've won 17-14 games. They've been on the winning end of some, you know, some close ones. And, you know, last couple, few weeks they've been doing well. And so I liked all their, aside from Cooks, but I don't think anybody's starting Cooks right now because he's just too much of a wild card with his injuries this year. But I liked all their, you know, all their main guys. I said last week, again, you know, toted up Gurley. I said, you do not, you know, I don't care that Gurley has given you single digit fantasy points, you know, a lot of games this year. You're in the playoffs, you drafted Gurley super high, probably early second, late first. You are not sitting Gurley. He is still that bell cow. And, you know, he didn't quite get you 100 yards rushing, but he got you over 100 yards of total, you know, scrimmage yards. He had some catches. He had a touchdown. So he had a good day for you. He didn't blow it up, but he was above his projection by a couple of points, which is good. And then, you know, Woods did well and Kupp did well. They both got in the end zone. Kupp was one of my guys. I towed it, and he was, you know, right around his projection too. And then we'll save the best call for last. I liked Joe Mixon this week going up against Cleveland, because I don't think their defense is very good. I mean, Cincinnati only did score 19 points, but Joe Mixon, he had himself a day. 146 rushing yards, got in the end zone rushing, three catches for 40 yards. So he added, you know, in PPR another 7 points for you. I mean, he had himself a monster day. I don't know. You know, we all drafted Mixon. I didn't draft him, but I'm saying everyone did draft who has Mixon drafted him super high. And I hope, you know, if you had Mixon and you were in the playoff set, you didn't sit him, because you're probably crying about that one. You know, he's just a guy that we've been saying it all year. He's been on a bad team. He has had a really rough year because he's been on a bad team, but he is still there's nobody that's even touched, you know, his amount of work. Bernard had four carries for 15 yards, and that's basically all Bernard has given you the entire year. So, you know, it's been Joe Mixon's backfield. He's had a few of these games now where he's went off. So, I mean, this was a good one. If you had him in the playoffs and you were starting him, he definitely probably helped you win a game, you know, your first round.
Yep. 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 All right. So we will go with my good calls of the week, and my good calls of the week started off with Jameis Winston. I had Jameis Winston as my number 6 fantasy quarterback on the week, and he finished the number 2 fantasy quarterback on the week. So, you know, I think it's going to be pretty hard for anybody to, in tonight's game, to overtake his 459 passing yards and 4 touchdowns. You know, and he also had a rushing touchdown. So, you know, the dude, you know, went off. He threw, you know, 2 picks, but we kind of come to expect that with Jameis. Yeah, I mean, if he's going to have a big game, he's probably going to throw some picks in there. So it is what it is. My second call was Devontae Freeman. I was super high on Devontae. I kept saying this was going to be his week. Finally, you know, I do not like Devontae Freeman, you know, on the offense that he is. You know, I've been saying that since the offseason, that I just was not high on Devontae Freeman. Everybody was taking him in the third round, and I just was not going to take him there because I just didn't like him. But this week I thought, against this matchup with the Panthers, who have just been terrible against, you know, running backs in any facet, you know, running, catching, and literally anything having to do with a running back, they cannot stop, period. So, you know, I thought he would have a game, and he did. He was, I think, the number 11 running back on the week. And, you know, he was very, very good this week. He was a running back one for you. My last good call of the week was Amari Cooper. You know, after getting a donut, I know a lot of people were like, you know, should I start him? You know, it's a Thursday night game against the Chicago Bears. I don't really know if he's going to be any good. And, you know, I basically, you know, I had him, I believe it was my number 11, you know, wide receiver on the week. You know, I still had him as a wide receiver one. I thought that, you know, even at the bad Bears matchup, that, you know, he would do what he always does as long as he's getting targeted. And it always seems to happen when they give him a little bit of targets, the very next week they try to make up for it and they throw him the ball a lot. You know what I mean? They make it a point. They did the same, you know, a couple of weeks ago when they played Buffalo, I said the same thing. You know, you can't sit Amari Cooper against Buffalo because they're going to make it a point to throw him the ball. They're going to throw it to Amari Cooper to make up for the bad game he had the week before.
Yeah, so. Since you brought that up, he really doesn't have back-to-back bad games. I mean, he does give you a stinker. Yeah. Like, that's one thing that Amari Cooper will do. I mean, he's a make-or-break guy. I mean, he will give you one catch for 10 yards, and then the next week he will give you 11 catches for 170 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
But, yeah, he really doesn't have back-to-back bad games. You know, yeah, right, he does. He'll get his targets that next week.
Yeah, they make it a point to get him involved, you know, early and often when they neglect him the week before. And it's happened that way all year long. Yeah, and that's my three guys. So we are going to get to our dumpster diver wrong calls of the week.
Say they're wrong because
they were wrong.
And were they wrong?
Are they wrong?
I think they're wrong 100%.
Sometimes they're wrong.
They were wrong.
Sometimes they're wrong.
It's the New York Times. They're always wrong.
Well, I would say my wife tells me I'm wrong all the time.
All right, Dan. So why don't you get into your dumpster diver calls of the week?
All right. Let's. I guess we'll just start it off where we ended it for me. Well, you know, I was Joe Mixon was my big guy, so I towed a Baker again. You know, he's been – we all kind of were high on Baker because we said that he does really well against bad defenses, and he didn't play well. He didn't play well at all, and even after the game, he was throwing his own trainers under the bus by saying that they handled the whole Odell Beckham. I mean, these guys are just – they don't shut up.
They're a trainer.
Just play football. They still got lucky and got the win. You know, Chubb is – he's a beast. You know, he got 106 yards. Hunt – got in the end zone. Hunt had, you know, some receiving work. So, but Baker was, I really thought Baker was going to have a nice 302 in this one against the, you know, crappy Cincinnati defense. And he didn't. He had 192 and two picks. So, you know, guys that have seen Baker slowly start to increase productivity and took a chance on him in their first playoff game. Probably didn't win that playoff game. So, you know, I don't think many people were really riding out Baker because most people that are in playoffs are, you know, pretty set at quarterback, and Baker's been most likely a wire guy. But, you know, he was a stretch call for me. I just liked the spot he was in, and he pulled a Baker Mayfield that he pulled all year. Second, when we talked about this, you know, the San Fran and Saints game, you know, Kev mentioned that he wasn't real high on any of the guys because it's too much of a committee. And I just thought that they would get Coleman the ball because he's been absent the last few weeks. I thought that they would drill. I mean, he was when he first came back from injury, he was dynamic. I mean, he was putting up huge fantasy outputs. You know, this Kyle Shanahan offense is still running the ball great, but you know, Kev was right. They just have been riding the hot hand. I mean, it's kind of a Patriots type of offensively ran, you know, scheme where they just stick with a guy who is hot. And right now, I mean, last week Mostert was super hot, and he has been again. So. And it was the most for show, and Coleman once again is just—he was extremely irrelevant. And he's a guy that people are probably started. You know, he still had a pretty good projection. I liked, you know, I liked the fact that he was playing in the dome and that they were gonna, you know, try to get him. I figured they were gonna try to get him more worked into the offense because they didn't last week, but was not the case. So he put up a stinker. And last is Vance McDonald. Big Vance, he has not been good at all. He showed bright signs last year of being, you know, a possible top 12 tight end, and this year he has not. And, you know, the main reason that I liked Vance, everyone, you know, if you follow football as closely as we have fantasy football, you know, the teams that shine and the teams that, you know, fall flat, or, you know, to certain positions. And we've been following this Cardinals team and how bad they are covering the tight end. They are by far the worst. But, you know, they just, Pittsburgh did not utilize Vance this week. So he, you know, he only had a couple yards. So it was a bad call for Vance. Tight ends are tough. You know, you got to take some shots here, but tight ends have been tough and they continue to be tough. This is just one of those years where we're going to keep on saying it, unless you're, you know, Kittle, Ertz, and some of the main guys. It really, there's no consistency week to week with these guys. I mean, Higby had a huge night last night. So, I mean, you just got to really flip a coin and hope that it comes up on heads for your night, your week on that one with tight ends. Other positions, you know, it's, we get a little better stronghold on, a little better grasp on, but tight ends is tough right now.
You're not lying. Yeah, you're not lying. It has been rough. So we are going to get into Kev's calls of the week, bad calls of the week. So Kev's first bad call, he says Aaron Rodgers. Really, I'm kind of going to give Kev a pass on this one. You know, you were going to start Aaron Rodgers regardless for most teams, unless you had, you know, a much better guy, or, you know, like a Ryan Tannehill or something like that. You know, going against the Redskins, everybody thought that he was going to go off. But this was an Aaron Jones game. I mean, this was a huge Aaron Jones game. You know what I mean? He had 16 carries, 134 yards, a touchdown. You know, he had a bunch of long runs in this game. It was very rare that he got stopped, you know, for you know, 3 or 4 yard runs. He had, I think, three runs of over 15 yards. He just, you know, he was a beast this week. And they made it a point to get him the ball in the passing game too. You know what I mean? They were using Aaron Jones a lot in this game. You know, he ends up with 22 total touches in this game. You know, so it was definitely a game where they decided they were going to get Aaron Jones involved. You know, early in the game, they were throwing the ball to Jimmy Graham a lot. You know what I mean? It was weird. It was just weird the way, you know, the game flow happened. But, you know, it's basically, on this team, it's basically Aaron Jones, you know, and Davante Adams, and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, Rodgers has been hit or miss all year long. So, you know, I'm not going to kill Kev for that call, because I'm pretty sure everyone had Rodgers pretty high. Alvin Kamara has been you can't say anything else other than just, he's been bad. You know what I mean? He has been really bad. You know, in yesterday's game, he has that fumble in the third quarter, which, you know, killed that drive. You know what I mean? And it was the worst time to fumble, because it put them, like, right in scoring position. It's really one of the main contributing factors to why they lost that game. That was a huge fumble. And honestly, I think Sean Payton just, after that fumble, I think he was a little bit pissed, because I think Kamara got like two more touches in the game after that. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think Sean Payton got a little angry about that, you know, that fumble, especially right where it was at on the field. You know, you can't fumble that ball there. You know, it was a good play by the defense. You know, he punched it out, and, you know, Alvin Kamara just, it's got to find a way to hold on to that ball, is basically, you know, what it is. And both teams were scoring so fast with the passing game, they just decided to completely, you know, kind of abandon the run, really, because, you know, Alvin Kamara had 13 carries for 25 yards. You know, Latavius Murray had, you know, 7 for 69, so there was 20 carries in the game. And then Taysom had some, you know, Taysom was doing some quarterback stuff, you know what I mean, going in there. When I hate when they do that, though. It really annoys me when they take Breeze off the field to put in Taysom to do that stupid, you know, quarterback draw shit. It's annoying. It really is annoying to watch. Especially when Drew Breeze throws for 5 touchdowns in the game. Like, that guy should never be leaving the field, period. But, you know, it is what it is. Alvin Kamara was bad this week, and he just, you know, he saw six, like, 5 or 6 targets, I think. Let me look it up. Yeah, he had 6 targets for, you know, 4 catches and 18 yards. So he was being used. He just was bad. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, the dude is not good. And there's no really explaining it. You know, he's just been terrible, terrible this year. If you drafted Alvin Kamara and you got to your playoffs, you were lucky to even get there. You know what I mean? And he just basically sank your ship. He has Allen down here. But I don't know what Allen he's talking about. So, you know, the only one I can think of.
Josh Allen.
Because he said Rodgers. So I think it might be Keenan Allen. But, you know, I don't remember Keenan Allen having a terrible game. I mean, we'll look it up real quick. Because I actually didn't watch the Chargers game.
Yeah, it should be Keenan Allen, actually, now you think about it. Cause...
Yeah, I know he had a couple of catches, but I didn't remember him being terrible, terrible. 5 for 83. So, you know, I mean, I thought he was pretty good yesterday. So I'm not sure exactly what Allen he's talking about. So we're just going to skip over Kev's last guy because I'm not sure what Allen
he's talking not here to
about.
Defend himself.
Yeah, he's not here to defend himself. So he did mention to us, he said, Sony Michel was also a bad call of his. So we'll take Allen out and add Sony Michel. How about that? He said, and this is in Kev's words, he said, Sony Michel is a bad call for running back. He said, I'll never call him a high guy ever again. So, you know, Sony Michel was a guy that I think a lot of people were high on yesterday. You know, the Chiefs have not been able to stop the run, and they just, you know, they – I don't know. I can't even explain it. I think that the Patriots just don't think Sony Michel is any good. Because we have seen this Patriots team year after year give, you know, one of those guys the ball a lot, you know what I mean, and then use White out of the backfield, and that is not the case anymore. Like, they are not giving Sony carries. They are just like, you know what, this dude is 2-3 yards, and that's it. He's constantly getting tackled in the backfield. You know, we're just going to abandon him now, and that's what they did. They literally just abandoned him in the second quarter, and I want to say he had like 4 more carries the rest of the game. So, you know, it is what it is. When you're a bad running back, there's just nothing you can do. It is what it is. But yeah, all right. So my bad calls of the week, I had Tyreek Hill as the number 4 wide receiver. You know, I just thought that Tyreek. Has the wheels to just get open deep. He does. You know what I mean? He has the ability to get open deep on any team. You know, it's really hard to game plan for his type of speed. And I thought Tyreek would be very good. And in this game, he just wasn't. You know, there's no really rhyme or reason to go with. You know, it's not like they completely took him out of the game. He just, you know, he just didn't have one of those signature big plays that you're so used to seeing. You know what I mean? And, you know, Mecole Hardman gets that 49-yard touchdown, you know, in this, second quarter. So, you know, there were big plays to be had in this game. It just wasn't Tyreek Hill making them. You know, he's 6 for 62, which is not terrible. It's not killing you, but, you know, it's not the game that you expected from a Tyreek Hill. You know, you wanted, you know, at least 20 points from a wide receiver like Hill in this game. So, and he didn't really get that. David Montgomery, another guy that I had real high in my rankings this week. I just thought, you know, Montgomery would have a good game against the Cowboys. Cowboys have been letting everybody run all over them the past couple of weeks. And, you know, he looked strong in this game. He was breaking off, you know, 8-9 yard runs. He just, you know, he has that fumble in the late third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, which hurt him. And then he just, you know, he just didn't get into the end zone. You know, he finished with 80 yards rushing. He just, you know, didn't score, and he had a fumble. So kind of killed his night. And he didn't have any receiving work out of the backfield either. So, you know, that kind of screwed him up. And then Kirk Cousins is my last guy. So Kirk Cousins, man, I don't know. Like, he is just so hard to figure out, like, when he's going to have a good game. Like, when you think he's going to have a terrible game, the dude ends up throwing for 303 touchdowns. And then against a Lions team that hasn't been able to stop anyone, like, at all, he throws for 242 and one. It's like – and it's not like Dalvin Cook had a huge game either, because Dalvin Cook was getting bottled up, you know, most of that game. Like, the Lions actually came to play football yesterday, and they were legit stopping the Vikings from scoring. You know, Dalvin Cook had, what is it here? He had 18 for 62 and a touchdown. So it's not like Dalvin Cook was going crazy. Really, the only player on the team that actually had a pretty decent game was Stephon Diggs. You know, I mean, 6 for 92. You know what I mean? So he gets you 15 PPR points. But other than that, there was really nobody on this, you know, on this Vikings team doing much of anything. And you thought Vikings at home, you know, there would be a much better, you know, over in Detroit, the dude threw for 280 and four touchdowns. So, you know, you just assumed at home he would throw for at least, you know, 303. That's kind of what I was banking on, and that did not happen at all. You know, there's not really any, you know, and it's not like he was missing a bunch of throws either. He was 24 for 30. So, you know, there's not really anything I can say other than, you know, my bad. Like, I thought the dude was going to be good, and he was horrible. So that is it for our good calls of the week. We are going to hit up the waiver wire and let you guys know some guys that we are toting this week. All right, so waiver wire this week, we have Mitchell Trubisky at the top of the quarterback list. Mitch has actually been pretty awesome for the past, really, it's been 4 weeks. When you look at his stats, you know, especially in the past 4 weeks, you know, not a guy that we have been toting at all this year. But it was really 5 weeks. Against the Rams, he had a terrible game. He had 10 points. But, you know, against Detroit, he was 19.7. Then against the Rams, he had a bad game, which is understandable because the Rams' defense is very good. Against the Giants, he had 18.9. Against Detroit, he had 23.9. And then last week against Dallas, he had 32.1. And this week, he gets a Green Bay team that, you know, the past 2 weeks has looked good. But they're, you know, not very high level of competition with the Giants and the Redskins. So, you know, they have been, you know, not the greatest defense the past, like, you know, 6 or 7 weeks. The Green Bay Packers have been slowly letting up points, and I think, you know, I think I actually like him this week against Green Bay. I think he could actually put up some points. So if you're desperate at quarterback, you know, Mitch Trubisky is a guy to think about. Another guy that I actually like is Gardner Minshew. You know, I know Gardner Minshew had a terrible game this week, but, you know, he gets a Oakland Raiders team that just got a 42-burger put up on him this week. And I think they're going to have to throw the ball, honestly. I think that the Jaguars are going to have to throw the ball to do anything in this game because, you know, they are not able to run the ball very well the past couple of weeks with Leonard Fournette. You know, the offensive line has just been getting pushed around. So going to Oakland, who just, like I said, you know, got a whole bunch of points put up on them, you know, made Ryan Tannehill look like the MVP. You know, I could see Gardner Minshew doing something. And then really that's it for the tight, you know, the quarterback position. You know what I mean? You got guys like Andy Dalton out there and, you know, Devlin Hodges. And if you're relying on those guys, you know, I really don't understand how you even are in the playoffs if you've been piecing your team together like that.
You know? Yeah, I'm with you. Anybody that I think anybody that won this past week, we didn't have any significant quarterbacks go down. So it's not like, you know, we're saying that, you know, put the claim in now. I mean, most people's fabs probably almost run out. So ride with the quarterback that's been riding with all year. I mean, I do like Minshew more than I like Trubisky because I like that Oakland matchup a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's very, like I said, you probably got to really go, you know, a decent above average quarterback, above Minshew level quarterback, you know, that you're playing in these rounds.
Yeah, we really hope that is the case because that's rough. So for running backs, we have Raheem Mostert is the must add of the week. He is really the guy that, you know, is the only guy that we can really say, you know, you need to go get him. I mean, we saw him now 2 weeks in a row. He is the guy for the 49ers. You know, he is 23.7% owned. He only had 10 carries yesterday, but that was just game flow, you know, and he still had a great game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Jimmy G's not going to throw the ball that like he did this past. I mean, we've seen that this team does run the ball. They are absolutely run heavy and defense heavy. But Jimmy G got into a pissing contest with Drew Brees and, you know, he came out the winner. So, but yeah, you're like you said, we're not going to be seeing that kind of performance from Jimmy G, I don't think, on the weekly. So Mostert is definitely probably for me my highest waiver wire guy since, you know, Bo.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, Raheem Mostert at 23.7% owned. If he is available in your league, you know, you need to definitely have him. That's a definite no-brainer. Latavius Murray, for obvious reasons, needs to be on your lineup. You know, it's been a terrible year for Alvin Kamara. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Alvin Kamara had something up with him. You know what I mean, because he has looked that bad. You know, he might still be having that, you know, that injury issue going on, because it's just really, really bad. Patrick Laird, you know, we talked about him. He gets 15 carries for 48 yards, but he gets you those four catches for 38, which, you know, in a PPR league, he could be a flex for you. You know what I mean? He is not the sexy name. He's not the guy that you are loving to have on your team, but, you know, a guy who is going to get the starting running back work, and at only 10% owned, you know, he's kind of a guy that you need to have. I mean, as much as it pains me to tell you that, because the Dolphins' offensive line is just horrible. DeAndre Washington is another guy that is basically a must own right now. You know, DeAndre Washington is 9.5% owned. We all saw that. Josh Jacobs was a late inactive, you know, yesterday. I think around 3 o'clock they let you know that he was, or it was actually a little bit early before the lockout. They basically, I think it was like 2:30, it came across the waiver wire, that, you know, the news wire, that he was not going to play. And so DeAndre Washington took over the lead back role. You know what I mean? He had 14 for 53. He scores a touchdown in that game. You know, didn't run very well. Didn't look good really at all. But, you know, he caught 6 balls for 43 yards. So that's a big deal. You're getting 10 points from him in a PPR aspect. And they were down by a lot in that game. So they did start checking it down to try to get first downs. And I see, you know, if Jacobs misses another game, you know, I could see Washington having another good game, especially against this Jacksonville Jaguars team that is just horrible. They've been really, really bad the past couple of weeks.
And Oakland's home, and they tend to play a lot better at home. They're a rough away team.
Yeah, you're not lying. Yeah, and really, you know, at running back, it's the same guys that we tell you every week to get, because, you know, you're in the playoffs and you need to handcuff your guys. So your Rockwell Armsteads and your Darwin Thompson, you know, all those guys that need to be handcuffs for your team, for your players, you know, make sure you get those handcuffs. At the wide receiver position, wide receivers is just, it's not a whole lot. I mean, you got James Washington is still only 34% owned, which is surprising. He needs to be, you know, higher owned than that, especially, you know, after his 2 weeks. I know this week wasn't, you know, it wasn't a phenomenal week. You weren't like, oh my God, James Washington, because he didn't really do much. This is more a Deontay Johnson game. But he still gets you 4 for 30. 4 for 33, you know, on 4 targets. So he caught all of his targets this week. He just didn't have that big smash play. You know, he gets Buffalo this week, which is not a good matchup. But in week 16, he gets the Jets, which is a very good matchup. So, you know, you might be a guy that you want to consider in your championship game if you are hurting at wide receiver. Darius Slayton is another guy. You know, he's going to be playing tonight, so we don't know what he has done this week. But if you look at Darius Slayton over the past, like, 6 weeks, the dude has been pretty good. I mean, it's surprising how good he has been. And I know it's with Daniel Jones, but, you know, if Eli does show you that he has a rapport with him this week, you know, the guy scored 19, he scored 34, he scored 10, you know, both weeks, the past 2 weeks, you know, so he is definitely, you know, a guy that you can use as a flex option. And then after that, it's really not great. I mean, you got John Ross, which you're definitely not starting this week because it's the New England Patriots. Nobody's crazy enough to do that. And there's not really much else at the wide receiver position, really. You know what I mean? I know there's Alan Lazard, which he didn't really do a whole lot this week. This is not the wide receiver week that we've had in weeks past, you know, with guys like Cole Beasley. You know, Cole Beasley is finally over 50% owned. You know, he had to have a 100-yard and touchdown game to finally get over 50 yards. So, or 50, you know, 50% ownership. But, you know, he finally hit that number, so we can't tote him. You know, There's not really anybody else. You know, Josh Gordon, you can't rely on Josh Gordon. Like I said, John Ross has terrible matchups. And that's really it. That's it for
Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon looked so bad yesterday.
Yeah, he looked terrible, dude. I don't know. You know, well, we do know what happened. He sat out of the league for like 4 years in a row and just, you know.
Expected his talent to just overcome, you know, work ethic, I guess. And I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't work hard because the dude is still in awesome shape, but you got to be NFL football ready to, you know, plays on, you know, playbooks and stuff like that. And I think they've said even since his time back in Cleveland that he was never really a big playbook kind of guy. I mean, I think he just kind of thinks that he's, you know, such a physical freak that he can get by on that. And maybe it's getting exposed now.
Yeah, he really is. All right. So for the tight end position, you know, there's not a whole lot at the tight end position, but you know, I hate to even say his name, but I'm going to do it. OJ Howard, you know, OJ Howard. He's one of those guys that, you know, it really pisses you off because he has just been that dude all year long. But the past 2 weeks, he has 11 fantasy points in both games. You know, we all saw what happened with Mike Evans. He came up limp, you know, running down the field, catching that 61-yard touchdown. You know, he grabs at his right hamstring, and it did not look good. It's literally as soon as he popped up, he was holding that hamstring like he was in pain. You could clearly see it that he was in pain. And then after that, you know, OJ started getting some deep targets. You know what I mean? He ends up with 4 for 73 on 5 targets. OJ was, you know, he looked good yesterday. He really did. He looked like a guy that they were, you know, using as a deep threat because of his speed and his size. And if they're going to continue to do that, especially at home against, you know, well, I'm sorry, at Detroit this week, you know, which is a, you know, terrible defense, and then week 16 Houston, which is another not so great defense. You know, I would get OJ if you absolutely need tight end, you know, help.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay is still not running the ball at all. So you got, you know, they're James is throwing the ball 40-50 times, 400 yards pretty much every game. Yep. And you know, I'm sure he's going to look for Godwin a little more if you know, we anticipate that Evans isn't playing. But you know, Godwin, it's not going to catch 400 yards, so the ball is going to be spread around. And you know, he definitely looked like he liked OJ this week. So definitely, I mean, when I spoke on Vance McDonald earlier, you got to take some shots here at tight end because tight end is just so hard right now. And unless you drafted a top one in the early rounds, which most, you know, 9 out of 12 guys in leagues didn't, you know, you got to take shots. And I, you know, OJ Howard might be worth the swing this one.
Yep. So my next guy is Noah Fant. You know, Noah Fant with Drew Lock in the mix last week.
Drew Lock. Man, this kid.
I know. That was crazy.
They all look good, though, at first. I don't get excited about anybody because they all – man, Kyle Allen looked like MVP of the year his first 3-4 games. Minshew looked – I mean, they all look good until a little bit of tape gets on them. And then, you know, I'm not saying that Lock's going to be exposed, but there's probably a 75% chance at some point he's going to be exposed. They get tape on these guys. And, you know, it's just different.
Yes, sir. But he, you know, Noah Fant gets a Kansas City Chiefs team that, you know, hasn't been great against the tight end. They haven't been terrible, but they haven't been great either. So, you know, Drew seemed to like to throw the ball to Noah. So a guy that I would take a chance on. Tyler Higbee. You know, we don't know when Gerald Everett is coming back. But Tyler Higbee has 2 back-to-back 100-yard receiving games. He doesn't get in the end zone for you this week. But last week, you know, we saw what he did last week. It was 7 catches, over 106 yards and a touchdown. You know, this week he does very similar. He gets you over 100 yards. I think he had 5 catches in this game or 6 catches in this game. They're just using him. They're throwing the hell out of the ball to him. And he's getting open. So, you know, Tyler Higbee is a guy that I like. You know.
And they play Dallas this week, and Dallas has just let up.
Yeah.
Dallas has let – I mean, we know Buffalo is an improved team, but Buffalo is definitely no passing elite team. And they torched Cowboys, and Mitch Trubisky just torched the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And the Rams are hot right now, so I love Higbee. Higbee is an absolute amazing pickup. He is one guy that, you know, if you can get him, be thankful and without a doubt put him in your lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, 7 catches for 116 on 11 targets. So, Yeah, definitely a guy that, you know, you could clearly see it last night in the Sunday night game that he was heavily targeted in this game. And a guy that, you know, I definitely would not mind having on my team, especially if with the terrible, terrible tight end plays that we've seen. Jonnu Smith, you know, I actually had a question about him today. I am not picking up Jonnu Smith. I mean, he's going up against Houston. I get it. Houston is bad. But Houston is not bad enough for me to pick up Jonnu Smith. I mean, yesterday he had a touchdown. That's what made his game. What made his game? He had 3 for 29 and a touchdown. In the touchdown, he was so wide open, he basically just like moonwalked into the end zone. It was terrible. I'm not picking up. You know, I know Jonnu Smith. I know he's a name, and people get excited about tight ends that score touchdowns. But you know, I will leave him on the waiver wire and not worry about him at all. And that's basically it, guys, for the tight end position. You know, David Njoku, I know people are excited that he came back this week. But another guy that I'm not really, you know, I'm not going to tell you to go pick up, because even before he got hurt, he, you know, I know week one he had that game, 4 for 37 and a touchdown. But other than that, you know, week two against the Jets, he got hurt in like the second quarter, didn't catch a ball. Against Cincy last week, you know, he had, I think it was like three targets, and he caught one of them for 4 yards. So, you know, going up against Arizona, I know everybody gets super excited, but, you know, I think Vance McDonald kind of crushed that dream. Vance McDonald definitely, I said it, you know, I know people were really super excited about Vance McDonald. And I told you guys, you know, Vance McDonald has not been being very targeted, so, you know. It's one of those things. Yeah, Vance gets you one catch for 3 yards. So, you know, we told you so. You know what I mean? We definitely said do not pick up Vance McDonald. So, you know, if you want to take that chance again and pick up, you know, Njoku this week, you know, be at his mercy, because that's what it is. You know, the guy just has not been good this year, and if you're going to rely on him just because of the matchup, you know, good luck with that. And we're 52 minutes in, so I think that's it. Dan, we're going to end this podcast.
Go Birds! Man, it's so bad that we're, like, still cheering for this team. Everyone knows. You guys all are laughing at us, probably. But the NFC East is a joke. But the Eagles are still alive. They beat the Giants today like they should. They are 8.5-point favorites. They should have beat the Dolphins, but they beat the Giants today like they should. They're tied with the Cowboys. They go up against the Cowboys in 2 weeks, and whoever that wins that game probably wins the division. But the NFC East is a joke. But, you know, once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. The Eagles, you know, they rode Nick Foles and beat the Bears on the double doink last year. So it just keeps things exciting for the home team. But, yep, getting ready to watch some Monday Night Football. Close us out.
Yeah. All right. So for us here at 4th & Inches Fantasy Football, we appreciate you guys listening. And remember, go to the website. It's 4thandinchesff.com, the number 4, thinchesff.com. You know, get all your player profiles, blogs, you know, all of our DFS information if you sign up for the website. And we hope you enjoy it and enjoy the game tonight, y'all. Peace.
Later.